Happy Sunday. It is the seventh Sunday of Easter. He is risen. It is my privilege to share with you today. I am obviously not in the church. I am in Ohio. I have made an impromptu visit to my sister, and it has been a pleasure to be with her and to enjoy her hospitality, but also be able to, through the wonders of technology, still serve as your pastor and to celebrate this Sunday morning worship time with you. Many of you are also traveling, so I hope that as the week progresses and you travel, return home, or do whatever traveling you're doing, that you would have safe travels and that everything would go well for you. We have a handful of announcements this morning. I wanted to let you know that, as always, that if you're not on the weekly email list and you would like to be added, you can just let me know and I will be happy to add you. Pastor Robbie continues to be on maternity leave. We are hoping that that she and her family will be able to return on July 3rd. But also on Sunday, July 10th, we'll be hosting a sprinkle party for the counselors. So we ask that you would plan on joining us and helping welcome Pastor Robbie and the family back. If you have any questions about that, you can reach out to me or to Juan, and we will be happy to give you some more details. Also, we are ordinarily having in-person services. We'll be back in person next Sunday. So if you are looking for in-person, we will definitely be in that space next week. And in fact, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. So next Sunday, we will be celebrating the birthday of the church. And as usual, we will have a celebration. So if you are able to attend, we would love to see you in person for the celebrating the birthday of the church. So next Sunday, after the service, there will be some treats, and we will make this service a very special time for us to celebrate together the birthday of the church. Of course, for our May Passing of the Peace effort, we're still collecting diapers and feminine hygiene products. If you have not been able to contribute and you would like to contribute to this effort, or if you would like to contribute some cash, for example, so we could actually go out and pick up some things, that would be fine. The last date that you can do that would be Sunday, June 5th. So we would ask that you please make sure to participate in that. And so we turn now to Psalm 97. And I would ask you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 97 so that we may read together the psalm that is our call to worship. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth and are exalted far above other gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. We turn now to our hymns. If you would turn in your hymnal, if you have one, to 467. And we will be singing Higher Ground this morning. Okay. Sorry, I gotta start that over. Here we go. Pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world. Those Satan stars at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound. The song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray, still haven't I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, I am plain and I am found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We turn now to hymn number 505, Glorious Freedom. And this one I will be sharing. Whoops. This is why we love Grassa, because she does such a great job of keeping up with all of my twists and turns here. But here we go. I'm going to share my screen. Let me see where my window is for this. I was bound by sin's galling fetters, chained like a slave, I struggled in vain. But I received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom. Wonderful freedom, wonderful freedom. No more in chains of sin I refine. And I repine, Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. From all the all the carnal affection, freedom from envy, hatred, and strife, freedom from vain and worldly ambition. Freedom from all that saddened my life. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom. No more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Freedom from pride and all sinful falling. Freedom from evil, temper, and anger. Glory of freedom. Rapture untold, freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains. sin I repine. Jesus the glorious emancipator, going forever, he shall be mine. Freedom from fear with all of its torment, freedom from care with all of its pain, freedom in Christ, my blessed Redeemer, he who has rent my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more chains of sin I repine. Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever, he shall be mine. Now we turn to the love of God, which is our theme song for our sermon series, which ends this week. So hopefully it will come up soon here. There we go. Seems as though the internet is a little sketchy here. Let's go ahead. The love of God is greater far than some your pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star, reaches to the lowest hell. That you prepared us when we came, that gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled, pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, rocks and hills and mountains call, counsel so sure shall still endure, measureless and strong, redeeming grace through love and grace, saints and angels song. Love of God, how pure, measureless and strong, it shall forever endure, saints and angels song. Could we the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, the stretch from sky to sky. Oh, God, how insecure, measureless and strong, it shall forever Okay. Now, we turn now to a time of prayer. And as we do, let me go to my if you have any prayer requests, you can unmute yourself on Zoom, or if you have them in Facebook, if you want to put them in the comments, I will definitely add them, and we can certainly pray for those this morning. But otherwise, I do have. I will begin our prayer time this morning in just a moment. All right, here is our prayer time. Let us pray. Today, Lord, we come before you and we thank you for the opportunity to worship together. We thank you that you have given us not only the freedom to celebrate you, but the desire to do so. We ask that you would be with us as we continue this service. We pray that you would open our hearts to hear the words that you have for us. We ask that you would grant us peace. Today, we remember those who have paid the ultimate price in service to their country in the United States. We are grateful for what they have done, and we ask that you, O Lord, would bless those families and usher the fallen into your presence. We also pray today for peace, for your peace. We repeat some prayers that others have written in the pursuit of peace. Prayers that have been around for ages, because unfortunately, although we seek peace and we live peace, we see that peace is not often or always abundant or evident in our world. And so we continue these prayers of your saints. We are molded, each one of us, in the image of God, and within our souls there is a fingerprint none can erase. We pray for those who have no regard for anyone but self, who put no value on human life, for nations and individuals who abuse and kill. We are not called to be judge or jury, but we are called to be agents of change. And if the butterfly that flaps its wings should be our attitude to others, then so be it, Lord. And may the hurricane this generates somewhere within the world reach into the hearts and souls of those for whom we pray and reveal to them how precious are those for whom they have no love and how precious are they who now bring tears to the eyes of God. Because the world seems so dark and foreboding. Where are the signs of hope? What are you calling us to do? Wars, uprising, displacements, hunger, poverty, mass shootings, and disease continue to claim victims by the millions around the world each year, and our ears do not want to hear their stories, and our eyes do not want to see their plight, because in our hearts, because the suffering and destruction is so massive and cruel, and in our hearts and minds, there is desire to help somehow. But the crisis seems so overwhelming that we shake our heads in dismay, and we wonder what the point is for us even to attempt to be witnesses for healing and hope in this hellish morass. We beg, Jesus, that you would open our eyes that we may see glimpses of the truth you have for us. Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, harmony. where there is error, truth, where there is doubt, faith, where there is despair, hope, where there is darkness, light, where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born into eternal life. Help us to follow the path of Jesus, the suffering servant. Give us the courage to be willing to walk the path of depression and pain with the victims of injustice, here at home as well as abroad. Help us to seek ways to light candles of hope, however small, through our words, through our deeds, and our prayers, to encourage our brothers and sisters to hold on to the faith in spite of the pain and suffering they are facing. And help those of us who are among the fortunate ones, who have enough bread to eat, good health, who live in relative peace, to open our heart to learn from our sisters and brothers who are living lives of grace and forgiveness in the horrid circumstances which surround them. Oh God, help us to light one candle rather than to curse the darkness. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who knows what being a light in this dark world is all about. Amen. Well, here we are. It's the last week. It's the last week of our series on John 3:16. I hope it doesn't mean it's the end of our time thinking about this verse. It just means that we're not going to be preaching on it specifically. It is always kind of the heart and soul of every message that is preached. This idea that God loves the world, God gave God's Son, that we can stop dying, stop others from dying, because this message exists. That we can live an abundant, never-ending life that is centered around this God who loves. This God whose love was not a static thing. It was not a moment thing. But whose love has been from the beginning of time, whose love has mattered for us, whose love should matter for us, whose love rescued us, and whose love should motivate us to spend ourselves rescuing others. Like most of us, I have spent this week in disbelief. Unimaginable things have happened. How can you possibly feel hope or joy or peace in a time when there is so much happening in the world, when a man can leave his home and travel to a school and murder children? In a time where a man can leave his home with the sole intent of murdering people who inhabit brown and black bodies. How can we move forward in this space? How can we send our children to school? How can we live our lives this way? What can we do? It has to be more than thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. Of course we pray. We wrestle in prayer. We fight in prayer. We advocate in prayer. But if prayer is all we have to offer, then we are violating scripture. And we are violating messages of James, who said, no, faith without works is dead. Words without deeds is not faith. Emily Reed wrote an article, and I'm going to read an excerpt from it. Among the deadliest mass shootings in history is a headline I have seen 13 times in my 20 years of life. San Bernardino, Newton, Las Vegas, Parkland. It seems America as a country is asking, when will it end? But it won't end. It will happen again. And we will all send our thoughts and our prayers to the affected area, praying for the families and friends of those who died, but praying most of all that we aren't next, that the next mass shooting won't happen to our community, our school, our church. What is it about guns that make them so difficult for defenders to give up? Does having a weapon in your pocket make you feel better about yourself? Does shooting practice every couple of weeks help your confidence? Or maybe you really are standing up for the Second Amendment. So let's talk about that for a second, the amendment that is dripping in the blood of thousands of innocent Americans' lives. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So much of the Constitution is rooted in the Founding Fathers' fear of tyrannical government. And in that time, it was typical for nations to use a standing army against their own people. So our Constitution writers decided that our new nation would instead rely on citizen militias, which would constitute ordinary people who would provide their own weapons. The Founding Fathers were intelligent. However, they were incapable of seeing the future. They had no clue that guns could and would become weapons of mass destruction. Weapons which, like the AR-15, were designed for military troops to kill enemy fighters and are now in the hands of 18 and 19-year-old boys on a rampage of revenge. There are guns which are capable of shooting 100 rounds a minute, capable of inflicting unspeakable tragedy. And this astronomical rate of mass shootings doesn't happen anywhere else. The United States only has about 5% of the world's population, but it has 31% of mass shootings. And if this was a mental health problem, as some gun rights activists explain it, then the United States would have more mental health issues than all other developed countries. But when you compare the data from World Health Organization for the spending rate of mental health care, the number of healthcare professionals, and the rate of severe mental disorders, not true. The U.S. is in line with other countries. So while mental health issues may still be a contributing factor, it is not the root cause of all this violence. The discrepancy really comes down to guns. It's commonly known the U.S. leads in the number of guns in the world. It's hard to exactly pin down how many, but the Washington Post has reported that there were 357 million. Even more staggering when you realize that that equates to 40 million more guns than the population of the U.S. Another common argument against gun control is that criminals don't care about laws and they would acquire a gun anyway. But after the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing, federal legislation made it more difficult to obtain bomb-making supplies. And a study by Indiana State University found that bombings have become less frequent since. In 1996, Australia faced a mass shooting, which killed 35 people. It shocked that nation so much, they implemented strict gun control. They haven't had a mass shooting since. So what do we do? Because it's evident now more than ever that thoughts and prayers aren't enough. Thoughts and prayers don't save lives. In the 1960s, when cars became wildly accessible, and subsequently more people started dying from them, our nation's leaders addressed the problem by deeming it a public safety issue. They limited access to them and implemented regulations such as the driver's license, age limits, tests on road safety, and rulings on car companies to ensure manufacturing safety. Why can't we treat guns like cars? You may have realized by now that this is an excerpt of an article not published this week or even this year, but instead it was published in 2018. And I would call it prophetic, but in reality, it wasn't hard for all of us to see the truth. Without true repentance, there is no change. You see, people are so caught up in this idea of freedom, of rights, that they believe that they have around guns. Even Christian people spend time talking about these freedoms that they have, that have been procured with guns. And yet, our freedoms have not been procured with guns. Our freedoms have been procured with a cross. Glorious freedom, we sang this morning. Not a freedom that is bound in weapons of mass destruction, but freedoms that are bound in the sacrifice of a given son, of a God who loves. Our psalm this morning talks about those who worship images are put to shame, those who boast in idols. What bigger idol is there in this country right now? One that we are sacrificing our children to, one that we are sacrificing our people to. We are offering blood sacrifices to the idol of rights, the idol of freedom, the idol of guns. These idols aren't even real. Just as no God comes before God, these idols are not able to save. These idols are not the safety net that some would say they are. These idols are as fake as the wood and stone idols of ancient times. And God says, I love you. Stop. Stop. In fact, if we read the psalm further, let those who love the Lord hate evil. Light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. The evil that we have seen this week, this month, these years since 2018, when this article was written in the University of Missouri, Kansas City paper, all of these things are perpetuated because there is a continuous desire to elevate the idols above God. These words may sound harsh, but we know that there have been men, consistently it's men. More consistently, it tends to be white men who have spent time absorbing the mantra, the scripture of these idols. And we know that these men have then gone to places and exhibited their radical beliefs through performative violence. According to gunviolencearchive.com, there have been 65 deaths due to mass casualty gun violence in May of this year. 65, just in May. And you can say that these things have to do much more with the radicalization of a particular group. You can say that this has to do with mental illness. You can say that this has to do with all manner of things. Some would say it has to do with black on black violence. Some would say it has to do with white on white violence. Some would say it has to do with racism. Some would say it has to do with persecution. Some would say it has to do with bullying. But in all instances, what this has to do with is our resistance to the idea that there is one God, and that God is a God of justice and love, who hates violence, who wants to enfold the marginalized into his arms, who says we should not perpetuate evil in place of love. Maybe I'm just ranting instead of preaching, but I think that it is important for us to understand that if we actually can put our arms around the idea that God loves, if we can understand what that love means for us and for everyone else in the world, if we truly grab hold of the idea that we are to be love in a world that has been deceived into believing outrage and division are the reality we have to get used to, then we can figure out a way to work both ends, finding ways to reduce access to deadly weapons by everyone. And reducing the number of radicalized persons by eliminating the factors that create them. No healthcare, no money, no food, no compassion. And as the church, we are responsible to God for our efforts in these directions. We have an obligation to live out the love of God in our daily lives, to be the light in the darkness, to light the candle, to carry the candle, to move forward in that way. We have freedom from the fear. We have an obligation to live out the love of God in our daily lives in ways that include more than thoughts and prayers. Of course, earnest prayers are necessary, but we can pray for peace while we march to battle armed with love in the shape of cans of formula at our border, kindness in the form of bottles of water to those in long lines to vote, grace in the way we challenge others to think differently about rights and life. As we pray, we move our feet, we move our bodies, we respond. We do not only celebrate Ukrainian refugees being safely homed in neighboring countries, but Honduran refugees being brought to safety in Nogales, Texas. We recognize that violence begets violence, that state-sanctioned school-to-prison pipelines are evil, that executing persons is not a punishment we are equipped to administer, that instead, justice starts with food and money and healthcare and housing, and that imprisoning people who are already bound by addiction and hopelessness does not promote anything but more hopelessness and addiction. And this message is not just for the local church. This is for the global church, the church that ought to care for each and every person in this world to the best of our ability, as a shadow of the very real way that God loves us more than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm angry this morning, angry at my own ambivalence, angry, church, at the continued deception that plagues so many. Those who have been blinded by the bright glare of their leaders who preach love for those who look like us, who act like us, who live like us. And say the rest should be damned and feared. And the terrorists throughout history have heard these messages, have grabbed hold of them, and have acted them out. And we need to serve as anti-terrorist weapons, speaking the message of hope, proclaiming the love of God, and the reality that God's love, perfect love, casts out fear and provides a way forward that beats the AR-15 into a plow, that casts the sword away, that heals the wounds of division and hurt in the light of a love we cannot fathom and a grace we cannot earn. In the meantime, today we will memorialize these casualties of war, these casualties who did not volunteer for battle, but whose unnecessary deaths merit recognition. Here are their names. On Saturday, May 15th, 2022, these people died while grocery shopping. Roberta A. Drury of Buffalo, New York, age 32. Margus D. Morrison, age 52. Andre McNeil, age 53. Aaron Salter, age 55. Geraldine Talley, age 62. Celestine Cheney, age 65. Hayward Patterson, age 67. Catherine Massey, age 72. Pearl Young, age 77. Ruth Whitfield, age 86. 9 days later, on Tuesday, May 24th, these 21 people died while attending school or teaching school. McKenna Lee Elrod, 10. Layla Salazar, 11. Miranda Mathis, 11. Nevaeh Bravo, 10. Jose Manuel Flores, Jr., 10. Xavier Lopez, 10. Tess Marie Mata, 10. Rogelio Torres, 10. Eliana Ellie Amaya Garcia, 9. Eliana A. Torres, 10. Annabel Guadalupe Rodriguez, 10. Jackie Cazares, 9. Uzaya Garcia Jace Carmelo Luevano, 10. Mayete Juliana Rodriguez, 10. Kayla Nicole Silguero, 10. Irma Garcia, 48. Ava Morales, 44. Amory Joe Garza, 10. Alejandra Lexi Anaya Rubio, 10. Alicia Ramirez, 10. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not recognized that it is your love that makes both of these possible for us. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will, walk in your ways, advocate for change, dismantle the idols that surround us, and live for peace. To the glory of your name, amen. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith together. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may partake if you have elements. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace. Grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Open your hands and your hearts to receive the benediction. Go with the knowledge that you are called to be love in this world because God has loved you. Remember this good news. You are free because of what Christ has given you. You are not dependent on weapons of mass destruction. You are dependent on weapons that heal and show love. You are dismissed. Amen.